You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and how exciting. Welcome to Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah. I'm Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York.
And I'm Sarah Thompson. This is a podcast all about our lives. It's about your lives and about how we live them together. Welcome along to the journey.
First things first, Sarah, let's get that kettle on. Sarah, there's quite a few things I wanted to quickly jump in on quickly. The first thing is, I'll describe it. I bought picked Sarah some flowers out of the garden, so that this is called Joy Bubbles from the rain-sodden garden. But it's all, look, there's a bit of cow parsley, a bit of lilac, a bit of lavender, a bit of cornflower.
Thank you so much. I love them. I wish we had smelly vision. I bet they smell amazing.
They do smell amazing, and they do smell incredible. But then now that I've given them to you with lots and lots of love, I can take them back.
That's the perfect present.
And also, the thing I wanted to do to talk to you about today, which is really important, is this is a bit of fun for 45 minutes. We're taking you into Joy Bubbles. We're taking you to another place if you want to listen. And it's what we want to do. We want to just go on hope. We want to go on the three C's, which is communicate, compromise, compassion. We want to bring out much more joy, and that is what we've been given. And the reason why I wanted to start off with that for anyone who's listening, because it's very important to me. What we are doing on this Tea Talks podcast is bringing light entertainment to ourselves. So let's pray that light entertainment is what everyone understands. This is what we're doing. You're coming with us on our journey, but you don't have to if you don't want to. But we like it.
Yeah.
So we hope you like it.
And actually, we have so many lovely listeners. And I love hearing their views and their thoughts. And a lot of them love the fact that we have a giggle. Why not?
Except I'm deeply upset you're in Spain and I'm here and we can't meet and have our usual little tipple afterwards.
I must admit, I am thoroughly missing that, I have to say. The whole concept of balance this week, which we were talking about, is just really interesting to me, because I am extremely lucky, as I keep saying, and I pinch myself all the time, although it doesn't, you know, hasn't come without hard work, and I'm always teaching my boys that. But, you know, this concept that I've got these two houses, which I love, and I always call this my happy place. And, I love England. Of course I do. And I love being with you and love being, you know, around the corner from my mum and Steve's mum, etc., my sister. But there's something so nice about waking up to sunshine. And also it just enables me. I still work when I'm out here, but there's just a really sort of lovely settling feeling, you know, and I feel like sometimes I feel really guilty and I think, gosh, how can I be out here in this gorgeous place? And, you know, how can I do that? But then I think, well, hold on a minute. I've kind of earned the right. And, you know, it's like you do work hard through life. And I've pretty much been working since I was 18. And I literally had 3 months off to have all three boys, because with Josh, I'd started the businesses. With Elliot, we were about to float, so I was running him into the office within sort of 4 days. And then with Harvey, I decided to take a couple of months off but the business was slightly struggling. And I so remember our then CFO phoning me saying, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm making a Christmas cake. And he said, what are you doing making a Christmas cake? We need you back here. And then after that, every single year, he sent me a Fortnum & Mason's Christmas cake. But that was pretty much it. So I kind of look back and I think, well, they didn't really miss out. But I feel like maybe I did a little bit because I wasn't at home being a mum, you know. And it is funny how you kind of reflect on things as you get older. But, you know, but also I don't like ever, as you said the other week, I don't like regretting anything because everything happens for a reason and actually kind of need to push forward.
I think you should be so proud of what you've achieved. And by you achieving it, you're leading by example for your children. And that's the other thing that Dr. Trent said today. She said, you know, you've got to, I think true leadership comes from doing it yourself. And of course, Beatrice always says, Mum, thank goodness at 5 o'clock on Sundays, you put on your camel coat and went to work, because now I have to go to work. And I work very hard and I put on my camel coat and I think of the leadership you showed me. So I think, Sarah, that you're absolutely right. I think it shows great leadership that you've got three boys who are shining and proud of you. And I think it's fantastic. So I agree. It is about balance, though, isn't it, Sarah?
It really is, isn't it? And you kind of get to a stage in life, and perhaps it's not really a stage. I think you should be like it all the time. But, you know, that whole kind of balance of, well, I mean, at the end of the day, what do we all seek? We seek happiness. And, you know, as soon as we have our children, we say, you know, before they're even born, well, we just care that they're happy. And so actually, that's what we're all seeking. And that whole kind of balance in life about, you know, achieving things and making the best of all your talents. But at the end of the day, also stepping back and having some fun and enjoyment, you know, it's so important, isn't it, to try. And I suppose all of us, you know, seek that balance all the way through our lives, really.
Well, I think if you're a Libran as well, I'm born in the middle of October, so I'm the balance, and therefore I never can make a decision. Even going to a restaurant, if I went to one of your smart restaurants, I'd make everyone else choose their food, because otherwise I get food FOMO. And therefore, my balance in life is to literally focus on joy. And so if I was on the telephone to you right now, Sarah, which I am, I would be saying exactly what I've said, taking the puddles and jumping in them, or smiling at the smell of rain, which is really interesting, isn't it? On a dry land, you suddenly smell rain. It smells like, I remember it coming back at 6 in the morning, from a party, and the dew has just landed, and it's kind of fun because you see the sun come up and you smell that dewy moment, don't you? And then you walk in, and the other, I remember once coming in very late, and someone opened the door, I came in high heel shoes, and he was quick as a flash, said, "Nice run, ma'am."
I'm impressed you still had them on. My God, mine normally come off by about midnight. That's it. I'm done with them.
Oh, no, they went on in the car just for keeping up the standard.
Oh, okay.
I think that's why I came on this Tea Talks today, very, very excited about what we're talking about, which is why we got, you know, real excitement in the air, because we're with our listeners, just the two of us having our fun little moment. And it's like the flowers I picked this morning. It's just our little precious moment. And if we can share a little bit of our world with our listeners, to have a little, they can be taken out of their worlds into our funny little worlds, then we're lucky, we're happy, we're joyful, we're happy. We want everybody to be happy. We want everyone to listen to this and go and laugh at me walking in pink heels. I probably had pink heels. You'd be jealous of my pink heels, Sarah.
I would. You know I would. It's funny, when you were saying FOMO, I'm the worst at getting food FOMO. Last night, which is I do love in Spain, is we all decided, we'd all chosen, there was only three of us last night, but we'd chosen our starters. And we said, oh, do you know what? Oh, yours looks a bit nice. And we were looking at the table next door and we said, put them all in the middle. And then we were just kind of, you know, eating a bit of each. And it's like the tapas thing in Spain, isn't it? But it's so much nicer. It's, you know, that whole kind of sharing. I'm really into it.
I've now got FOMO of your dinner. Why didn't you send me a photograph? I would have joined in then.
You could have helped me choose.
In fact, actually, I was thinking of ringing you last night because I was sitting outside in the rain with the dogs, and I was trying to muster up enough sort of joy bubbles inside of me that really it's perfectly all right that it's pouring rain and I was sitting outside. Of course, I wasn't sitting in the rain, listeners, but I did decide that it was really important just to go, just to open one of those small bottles of Little Pink in your memory, in your honour. And I nearly rang you and said, Sarah, I'm just opening a little half bottle.
Oh, you need me there. You need me there. Oh, my goodness. You're making me miss that, for sure you are. But yeah, make sure you save some for when I come home.
Do you have a lot of work on? It's 1st of August tomorrow. When do you get any time off then?
Well, do you know what? It's funny, actually, you say that, because that is one of the problems. Because I've come for a month or just over, I seem to have like meetings in the diary. And I was thinking, gosh, everyone else like has their holiday when they're literally not. So I might need to take a bit of a rubber to a few of the meetings and just get rid of them. In fact, half went, oh, are you working again today? And I said, well, no, not really working. I'm doing my pod today. But yeah, it's like, I think he wants to sort of do a few fun things, you know.
I think you're allowed to take a holiday. I think you're allowed to. I think you need to give yourself that little bit of, of course, you can say it straight back to me. But
I know. Are you actually coming out to Spain this year? No.
I think I might have to try and get out there, because here's me saying you need your holiday. And I still to this day, I feel guilty about taking holidays. When someone says, oh, you're a fun holiday, I always go, no, just working, writing a book somewhere else. And why do I do that?
It's guilt. It's this kind of guilt. And I think because we've always worked all our lives, it's just this kind of feeling that, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but we're so similar in that. It's like, oh, no, working. Yeah.
It's like when someone says that you, is the Duchess there? No, the Duchess is asleep. No, she's not. No, she's not. She's in a meeting. She's taking the dogs for a walk. She's anything but asleep.
The Duchess does not sleep.
No, the Duchess gets up and is absolutely sprightly. Oh, it really makes me laugh. You know, or the Duchess has got her feet up watching television. No, she's not. Or the Duchess is watching Wimbledon. No, she's not. No.
Out of the corner of her eye while she writes her 400th book. So are you missing the grandchildren? They're not there this week. They're still on holiday.
You usually is on holiday and with little Ernie Bernie. And it makes me laugh. He's called Ernie. I think of milk carts and things. But I don't. Don't worry. I don't sing it. Anyway, Ernie Bernie, he's this and August. And they're away on holiday, which is fantastic. But because of the recent operations, blah, 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 I'm traveling is not very easy at the moment. So, yes, I'm missing them terribly, especially since August loves his puddle jumping.
Aww.
And then Beatrice is away too. And she's got the lovely Wolfie and Sienna. But they will, it's all very good news. I'm delighted that my children, who work so hard, are able to have their pods of their own family. And now they are living the dream and they're living their dreams. And it's so important. You know, they're 33 and 35, I think, soon to be 35. And I think it's really important that we bring up, as you rightly say, Sarah, you said you want your children to be happy. Well, I believe that my children they've got beautiful, lovely happiness in them. And I love that.
Yeah, because mine are obviously, you know, they've got girlfriends and things, but they're sort of not at that next point. And I suppose, because I remember back, you know, once you have your own children, then that becomes your close family, doesn't it? So then everything changes, I suppose, once you become a grandmother, or, you know, it's just that next stage in life. And then you want them all to come on holiday with you.
Yes, absolutely you do. You do, you do, you really do. It's it's so interesting, Sarah, because you've got your boys now who want to go out to dinner with you and have a lovely time, and that's cool that you're a yummy mummy, which you clearly are. But then, and the fact that Harvey wants to play with you and have fun with you, and then that's really cool. And then what happens is they then go off and start their own families, and there is that gap between them going off where they get engaged, and then they focus all their attention on the other halves. And there is that gap. There really is, until they then realize, actually, mum, come on back. You're really useful. And then you become granny. You're absolutely right, Sarah.
Yeah. Although I sort of, I don't know if this is true, but I always think it might be easier if you've got girls because I don't know, if you've got a girl and then you have, you know, they're always going to be closer to their mum and then they're going to have their babies and that, they might bring it a bit closer. Whereas when you've got boys, this is my I panic about, although I know two of the girlfriends, if they stay around, maybe, you know, I get on really well with them. But, you know, are they going to be closer to their mum when they have the baby than they would me? Do you know what I mean? I think maybe girls is easier.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Do you think about that?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I, because all mine are boys, but I mean, you know, I'm sure. But yeah, you wouldn't want them to be with a girl who's kind of, I don't know, so close to her mum that she's not kind of coming back this way. Oh, I don't
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Because, you know, I worry about that too, in a way. And I worry for Jack and Edo's mums thinking, oh gosh, they're always here. Oh no, I must share. You know what else is interesting? You know, we started this conversation about FOMO of your courses.
Yeah.
I get FOMO. If they go to the mother-in-laws, I'm FOMOing going, I've never seen any pictures. Yeah.
My mum does that too. So I think I'm just, yeah, always concerned, like, oh, am I balancing it? Have I seen enough? You know, we're seeing everybody, you know, in a fair amount of time, but yeah.
But we are the stratospherically sensitive people, Sarah, so we're always going to be ridiculously oversensitive on every level, aren't we?
So how are you coping after surgery? Have you had to find a new balance, do you think?
It's very interesting because I would love, and normally I'm always away. I'm coming normally in sunny Spain seeing you, aren't I?
Yeah.
And so with the girls, and I've done it all their lives. It is really extraordinary to something to get used to a new balance that, well, it's okay, but you just can't at the moment. I just don't feel very, I don't feel strong enough to sort of make the travel at the moment. You know, I'm just coming to terms with my new best friend Derek on my left. He's called Derek, and he's very important because he saved my life.
Why did you call him Derek, by the way?
No, I don't know. He just made me laugh that I have now a friend who's with me all the time, who is protecting me with his shield of armor, and so I'm getting much better. And I think I'll be traveling soon, but it won't be, I don't think, for a month. And it will, so I'll miss the school holidays. Oh, I'm not school holidays, but, you know, I'll miss, well, Wolfie is at school. So I will miss my time in the holiday period this year. But then I can use plan for next year soon. I think it's about balancing the fact that I've got a new model at the moment, I've got new wheels, and a new engine, and I'll be taking the car for a bit of a run soon.
You look very well, I have to say.
Thank you, Sarah. It's just very interesting. I don't know how to put it without. It is a very interesting thing to come to terms with, but I'm thinking that I'm kind of proud of my I'm proud of the work, amazing work of all the surgeons and the nurses and all the doctors and everybody, but I'm really proud that, I mean, I've got a perky friend here on my left.
You're rebuilt.
Yeah. I mean, poor Eric on the right is feeling rather sad because he's not as perky as Derek on the left, but you know, whatever. I'll get Eric balanced, don't worry.
Yeah.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
So there's a really nice news story today talking about balance, which actually combines literal balance with balancing life and parenthood, etc., which was today actually on the front page of the Times, which was Tom Daley, the 3-time world diving champion. It said, 15 years after making his Olympic debut at the Beijing Games in 2008, Tom Daley had not considered whether he would be competing at the fifth Olympic Games until his son mentioned the magic words, "Papa, I want to see you dive at the Olympics." And a new flame was lit inside him. And I love that story, because you're just, I mean, obviously there's literal balance. I mean, because you have to be the best balanced person in the world to dive like he does. But, you know, subsequently having had his two children, I imagine the balance that he's got in having kind of stepped back from diving and then being a dad to coming back to it, because he's inspired by his little boy. And it just made me think, gosh, how we want to inspire our children, but they in turn really inspire us.
That's such a sweet story, isn't it? I loved it when I read it too. And I love this, that the Olympic flame and the spark, and that he said, "Papa, I want to see you diving." So you said earlier on in this podcast, you talked about your boys. Can you imagine if Harvey and all your boys didn't have your wonderful, successful, jubilant mum to get out there and do what you do, Sarah? First news, be the CEO you are. And so that little spark, they have that spark in you. They're proud. They may want you to sit on the golf course with them or play on the golf course with them, but they're so proud of you. And that's just like him. But going back to that little boy, can you imagine how fabulous that his little son gave him permission to do what he loves?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
He'd given up his wish to do it for his children, and yet in turn they said, "Go on, get on there, get out you go, Dad."
Yeah, it's very, very good point. Yeah, I love that. And I guess when you talk about me and my boys, but your girls, I mean, they've seen you have to come on the, you know, the world stage, and you know, and they must learn so much from you in kind of having been inspired by you, and then how hard you've worked and everything that you've achieved. And when you said, you know, Beatrice puts on her camel coat, you know, it's the same, isn't it? You just get inspired, and they have to tread in the same similar shoes that you've had to tread all your life.
Well, actually funny that, because when they were growing up and I said, no, let's do it a different way. Take responsibility for your actions, you know, ramifications for your actions every time you go out of that door, front door. And if they started to argue with me, I said, "The thing is, you know full well that I've gone out there, made the mistake. So when I'm saying it to you, you know, I'm not coming from a place that I haven't jumped the obstacles, perhaps the wrong way. Next time the obstacles are there, I've learned and jumped them a different way." So, yes, I agree. The good news about being authentic and real is that you can honestly say, "Oh, hand on heart, perhaps do it another way." And lead by example, that you say, "Yes, I put my hand up, but I'm going left now or right now." So, yeah, I really think this is, I think it's really inspiring for Tom to put it out there. I really do, don't you?
Yeah, I really, really do. No, absolutely, really do. And also for him to step back into it. It's like when you step away, like I've had so many friends that have children, step away from work, and actually the thought of stepping back in, you know, they think they've lost their skills, they think that they're no good anymore, they don't know the latest version of Excel, whatever, and it's like, don't be silly, you've still got so much to give, you know. And so for him, having been like the most incredible diver and not have dived, which I don't know if he has or not, but you know, it makes it sound reading it that he really hasn't for the last couple of years, you know, and to go back into that world stage, you know, and try and compete. Yeah, I mean, that's brave too, isn't it?
For us out here and for all the listeners, we can now follow him, can't we? We can follow his every move. And when he gets the gold again, which he will, of course he will. Of course he will, because he's so professional. He'll go on and on until he gets it. Because now he's got his little boy saying, "Come on, Daddy, come on, Papa, come on." Yeah. So he's going to do it. But we can then be so inspired that we can perhaps do something not quite diving.
Not quite splash. Not quite that. We're not joining
splash. We're not going to cause that splash. No. But we can. But certainly we can go to the top of the podcast.
Let's try that. Let's make that our aim. We're on our way. You've got a lovely news story, haven't you?
I have. This is a story of a seven-year-old boy who has been transformed by a 3D printed prosthetic, allowing him to pursue his angling hobby. Alex Sparks, who was born with only one arm, used to wish his missing limb would grow so he could hold a fishing rod on his own. Oh my goodness. After visiting a bionics fair, his parents found the Hero Arm, a robotic device that operates via tiny electrical signals when wearers flex their muscles, and launched an appeal to raise £12,700 needed to buy one. James Anderson, a plumber who, oh my goodness, it's such a moving story. James Anderson, a plumber who was moved by Alex's story, offered to pay the full sum and met with him to let him know the good news. And since receiving his new arm a week ago, Alex has reeled in fish with his father, Robin Sparks, at Cornfield Fisheries in Lancashire, put toothpaste on his toothbrush, unaided, and learnt how to tie his shoelaces.
It's got so many elements. I mean, A, the little boy, and bless, you know, that was his focus, and he's got it. I mean, secondly, the technology that enables that now is unbelievable, isn't it? And then thirdly, the fact that, you know, someone could step in and make a little boy's life change. I find that incredible. In fact, it does remind me, because I did this show a good few years ago for Nat Geo, National Geographic, and it was a sort of Dragon's Den meets Secret Millionaire. Anyway, they took me out to Cambodia. And amongst other things I did, the bit that sort of resonated and stayed with me the most was I met this lady who'd set up this amazing school. There was a little boy sitting at the front, and he was right at the front because he couldn't see. I mean, he literally couldn't see past his hands. And I said, you know, why is he sitting right at the front? And she said, oh, he's losing his eyesight. Anyway, cut a long story short, with the help of the production company, but I was able to pay to get this surgeon to fly over and operate on this little boy, Tung Fee. And he got his sight back. And he still texts me and everything. And it always gave me the thing that I actually had so much joy and gratitude out of that. So that the ability to help one person, which we were talking about the other day, but the ability to help one person and change their life. I mean, how lucky are you to be in that situation that you can do that, you know? And it reminds me when, you know, of James Anderson, because yeah, what an amazing thing to be able to do for both parties. You know, there's benefit obviously on both sides.
The thing is that's why giving when you give every minute or give every day, like James Anderson the plumber and Sarah Thompson to the little chap who couldn't see, it's really very gratifying for our own endorphins, our own self, isn't it? So suddenly the day feels so much better. Because you know you're so lucky and in gratitude. Well, there you have it. There you have it, Sarah. You see, look at that. That's good memories as well. Did you like that memory?
Yeah, it really took me back. And I thought, yeah, you were just so fortunate to be able to do it. But a lovely story.
It's back to that Melissa story with her little dress, wasn't it? And it's a little red. My books were made into Braille last week in Polish.
Oh.
And it's going into Ukrainian now, so that, because I think if you're a refugee, you come over and you now have, you speak Ukrainian, now you have to learn a new language like Polish. You need to have it in both, because then you can enjoy that moment of jumping to escape into a children's book, but then also knowing the new, learn language. But so I did them in Braille. It's really interesting, really interesting.
That's really, really good.
So well done, Alex Sparks, age 9. You've changed our lives today. And James Anderson, the plumber, we herald you.
Lovely story.
Tie your shoelaces, Sarah.
Oh, I know. But that's the thing. It's the little things, isn't it? Putting his toothpaste on himself. I mean, the independence. We asked many of our listeners this week all about balance and how they balance things in their life. And we've got so many views, and some of them really, really inspired me and made me giggle. But so Catherine Green said that she reaches balance by cross-stitching and reading, and that her family is very important. And it made me think, gosh, actually, a lot of people do love a hobby. I don't know if people still talk about hobbies in the same way that they used to when we were young. But a hobby is kind of, you know, an escape, form of escapism, isn't it?
I like hobbies. I like hobbies a lot.
Did you ever collect stamps or anything?
I used to collect stamps when I was little.
That makes me giggle because they're like your family. They're like photos of your family.
It's quite funny. Yes, that's a good point. Better go back to stamp collecting. My hobby, for those of you who are listening and want to rush off to the shop's birthday coming up, hurry up, is my hobby is to collect, if I was going to collect, fountain pens. I am a little bit of a collector of fountain pens and watches. I do. I like fountain pens and watches, and they can be of any description. What are you collecting? What's your hobbies then, Sarah?
Shoes. I collect shoes, like Imelda Marcos. Shoes and handbags. That's very shallow. No, I don't know. Gosh. So that's Kathy. And then Mike Murphy says, work-life balance is important to me, but working from home can help this. So that's quite interesting because so many more people are starting to work from home. But it's funny because when I kind of think about that, I think I find it hard because when I, because I used to work so hard when the boys were little, particularly, I think I ended up compartmentalizing. So when I was at work, I was at work. And when I was at home, I was at home and didn't want to be disturbed. And so actually that whole kind of work-life balance, which I think is a lot of people have written about, it's hard, isn't it? Because then you're at home, so which is your kind of safe haven, your family, but you're now in a work environment where you're Zooming and you've got, you know, I don't know, little Johnny walking in while you're in the call to someone, you know, and actually it kind of makes it, I think in many respects, I can see how it could make it easier, but it could also make it harder because you're kind of neither one thing nor the other. But everybody's getting used to having to learn to work like that, I think, since COVID.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the new normal, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's just you have to set new boundaries. I think it's very important to set boundaries. I was, you know, with the girls when they were little, you know, the door's shut. You know, it's not a question of trying to push me into one more story, mummy, or they've already had about five. You know, it's time now. Mummy needs to get on. It's 7 o'clock. It's time to put her feet up. But it's setting that sort of perimeter fence that provides a safe haven for people because they know they don't need to worry about that you're not going anywhere. So you can't be manoeuvred. You can, but you try hard not to.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it's a new balance. It's a new normal, but it's goodness me. It sounds very hard. It really is to not be grumpy and not say, just leave me alone. I haven't quite finished. You know, Mark, Beatrice and Eugenie and I call it putting us off our homework.
That's good. So Anne M says it's vital to my mental and physical well-being, and I schedule days to be home alone. And Rebecca Cayley says, I don't like balance per se because I'm all or nothing kind of girl, but I see that it's useful. And Kathy Weber says she finds balance very important, but she's still trying to figure out the best way to achieve it. But by the way, she says she loves our podcast. So thank you, Kathy. Liz Parry says, I love to light candles, listen to relaxing music and have a chamomile tea. I'm kind of right there with Liz. That sounds really good to me. And Anne Haldwang says, I believe balance is done in sessions instead of trying to achieve it every day. It's so interesting. We've had so many people talk about balance. But so many people have also asked how we find balance. So Joe Shaw, Jennifer Nash, Janelle, and many, many more have said, well, how do you two find balance in your lives?
Okay, well, that's really interesting because I think it was Kathy Green who said she did needlepoint. Was it cross stitch and red?
Cross stitch. Yeah.
Immediately, I thought of the sort of Jane Eyre and how in you know Pride and Prejudice and all of those extraordinary Bronte sisters, and that's probably how they find that balance. So I love that. the author came out of me a minute that Kathy mentioned that. So well done, Kathy. Thank you for taking me onto that journey. But that's extraordinary. Well, the best bit of news for me, Sarah, is of course that all those wonderful listeners. We love that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your point of view. Thank you for coming back to us. Those are all really interesting things.
Yeah.
And we can learn from you too. So, all right, Sarah, all of them asked the question, how do we get the balance? So you start.
Okay. So what do I think? Well, I think for me, getting balance is sort of stepping back and seeing the big picture. So sometimes when you get too in depth in things, you know, worrying about this, worrying about that, you know, you can really take yourself off into a spiral. So I think one of the great things about kind of balancing in life is stepping back and seeing the big things. I'm always saying, well, what's the worst that can happen? Why am I getting myself so worried about this? What is the worst that can happen? And if I can face the worst, then actually maybe it's not so bad. So not to sweat the small things, you know, that does kind of give me balance, but definitely having balance between family, working, and then things that I kind of want to do as well, and trying to kind of get some semblance of balance of all of those things, I think. And being a good person, you know, making sure that, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, you're likable, that people do enjoy being in your presence.
Well, I think that every single second, every single minute, you know, I was looking at the clock today and it was 8 o'clock and then it was 8:30 and then it was 9:15. And I've been going since about 6:30. And I thought, goodness, I'll manage all this because I'll be up early. And still, I was running 2 minutes late. What on earth is the balance of that? I'm like Alice in Wonderland and the Mad Hatter. It's tees up and I'm still running around trying to catch myself. I actually think I was born 20 minutes late, so I'm always 20 minutes late. No, I'm not. Don't worry. I'm getting better. I'm getting the balance better. I think from my point of view, Sarah, is that I literally believe that every single thing that happens in a day is I have to learn how to balance and react or not react. And I've learned in the last few weeks especially that if I just take a moment, take a breath, go and do something else and then come back to it, I will come back from a place of altitude, from a place of calmness, and then I'll have a different reaction. So my balance for me after the extraordinary operation I've been through and this and that is to now have found a place of listening to me more. And what do I feel? How do I feel? You know, and I know that's a really interesting big subject. But anyway, you're right. And don't trip over the triv. It's so easy to trip over the triv.
Well, we're going to have to deal with that feelings on another podcast. But that's very interesting. Listen to your own feelings. Yeah, wow.
And also because normally you've got the answer within you because it's your life, you know. In Sidney Poitier's documentary, he said, every day I seek to be a better person. And I feel really strongly that's important, and learn to be more kind and more grateful and listen more. And yeah.
So one of our listeners, Marshall, said, I actually don't believe in balance, but I believe in harmony. And that's quite interesting. It's like, is harmony balance? I guess it is, isn't it?
I think it's a really good word. And thank you for giving us a new word, because we've used balance throughout this podcast. But now here we are. And I love that word harmony, because that's exactly what you and I have come to understand about this podcast, Sarah, is that we needed to be ourselves completely. Therefore, we were giving ourselves harmony. So I think that Marshall is spot on, because if we can do what we wish to do and we love what we're doing, then everyone can fall in line, and therefore it causes us harmony. Therefore, we're going to be more authentic, more jolly, and have a better time. And therefore, hopefully more people will follow us. There we have it. another episode of Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah's done.
We should say you can vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. So if you go to britishpodcastawards.com/voting and put Tea Talks with the Duchess and Sarah, we would love that.
Yes, I know, Sarah. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it? I know we're only a few episodes into it, and I know we're newbies, but it would be lovely if you could go on and vote. If you'd like to get in touch, you can send me a message on Instagram at SarahFerguson15.
Or you can get in touch with me at SarahJaneThompson_. This has been a Viral Tribe production, who you can directly email at ttalks@viral-tribe.com.
We really do love your thoughts and feedback, and so please do subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode.
Right, we're off. See you next time.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.